And I should add that in addition to this, these formal agents, the Third Department created a network of civil reform, informers, people, ordinary citizens who would be hired by the Third Department to inform on their friends, on their neighbors, on their co-workers. Even children were included as informers to inform on the adults in their midst. Now, the purpose of this Third Department was very broad. In the words of one sympathetic conservative Russian historian writing in later years, he said, the government had to know what was going on among the people. What were their thoughts? What did they talk about? What occupied them? It became necessary to penetrate right into people's hearts and most secret thoughts. You can see why some people have suggested that this Third Department was foreshadowing already 20th century totalitarianism in the determination to gather information at the very depths of society and the determination to control what was seen as pervasive threats and disorder. Now, the revolutions of 1830 and 1848 made Nicholas's already emerging police state even more rigid. And I should note that he was also convinced by the revolutions that he was right. He was right to be so strict and brutal. After all, apart from Poland, but Poland was new, Poland wasn't controlled as well, it was more distant. Apart from the uprising in Poland in 1830, Russia was spared these upheavals. And Nicholas was convinced that Russia was spared the revolutions, especially of 1848, precisely because he was so ruthless. And he blamed these events, these revolutions, on government's weakness, on their vacillation, on their playing with liberal reform. And he wasn't averse to writing to various monarchs in Europe to tell them they need to be tougher just like he is. He was determined, of course, not to make the same mistake. Now, it should be noted, before concluding this discussion about his image and his policies, that many people greatly admired Nicholas I. Contemporaries who met him invariably commented on not just his brutality as a ruler, but his imposing physical presence. He was 6'3" tall, and also on his magnificence, even his physical beauty. Typical, for example, is this description by a diplomat from the United States, Andrew White. Nicholas I, he said, was a most imposing personage and was generally considered the most perfect specimen of a human being, physically speaking, in all of Europe. Colossal in stature, with a face such as one finds on a Greek coin, but overcast, with a shadow of Muscovite melancholy. With a bearing dignified, but with a manner not unkind, he bore himself like a god. Whenever I saw him, there was forced to my lips the thought, you are the most majestic being ever created. And in fact, many contemporaries like to compare him to a Roman god, usually Jupiter, by the way. Now, these images of Nicholas as brutal gendarme or majestic Jupiter are both parts of the truth, but still only superficial parts of the picture for understanding Nicholas and his reign. There's also a sort of what might be described as a greater complexity, even in his personality, that complicates matters, that complicates his motives and understanding him. First, there's considerable evidence that Nicholas's brutality and ruthlessness and obsession with order reflected not so much bold and brave confidence as fear, a fear that almost verged on panic. Revolution, for example, we know obsessed him. When he learned of outbreaks of revolution in 1830 and 1848 in Europe, he reacted with an outburst among those around him of panic, of fear, of anger. People were shocked at how excited he got about it. It seemed to be an obsession with him. This, of course, was not new. The Decembrist revolt was always a preoccupation of his. He personally participated in the investigation, personally interrogated many of the accused, and tremendously was wrapped up with remembering this terrible event throughout his life. More generally, people noticed a remarkable obsession, which many say extended well beyond reason, with regimentation, with discipline, with orderliness, with neatness, with precision. People said clearly there was something more than politics here. There was something about personality, rooted, many believed, in a pervading fear of disorder of any sort. Now, other traits of his personality are worth mentioning, for they further complicate this picture. One is that Nicholas I was a deeply religious man.